right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat right here at the bottom. USA, Abby Girl, Dave Souders, Michelle Tall, Buckeye Nut 1968, Tammy L. Margreter, Lizzie 859, Mike Griffith, Tim L. T-Bird is on, Swifty Shooter 966 is on, Richard Perry 49 is on, Jules 21 Hours is on, Spoken 007, Judy Anita D 9597, S. Clark 1968, Wendell Lovett is on, Salty Gonads is on, Lizzie 859 is on, Aphrodites is on, UN's Cabal maybe is on, Hanslick Donovan is on, Why Not Me is on, Order in the Court is on, Kept Guy 1 is on, Sunwoo 45 is on, Jules 21 Hours is on, 23 Justin Blake is on, Joe Dirt is on, Scooter 8887 is on, Hi Back at Your Brother, Joe Heathen is on, Ambuli is on, Regina Loves Art is on, Granite 2468 is on. Let's see, 23 Justin Blake is on, if I haven't said you already. Let me see, Richard Perry 49 is on, Dead Plant is on, Snita Girl is on. Let me see if I missed anybody here. Yeah, scooting down here. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Hey, Aaron's on. Thank goodness. The lights wouldn't be on. Jack and Daisy is on. Jay Heal is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Daniel Armstrong Wreck is on. Let me see. Trisha Snow is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Faith Healer is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop to this tonight. Going to be a quick one tonight. I'm going to be done it exactly. 9:12, 1 hour from now. There we go. 1 hour from now, I'm done. There you go. You can put it etched in stone. Nitsua 99 has already got me at 10:22, but here we go. Let's hop right through this. Nothing. I don't have anything from the pregame. Nothing really from pregame. Bunch of good speeches. RFK Jr. is on. Well, one thing, I guess, because it just popped into my head when I talked about RFK Jr., how about Billy Gates being sued? I mean, how about Billy Gates? What's he being sued? Is it, I can't remember what country it is. Just like, oh, Netherlands. Yep. He's being sued in the Netherlands right now for his lies about the vaccine. You're wondering why, as RFK said, I wonder why he's donating $50 million to the Kamala campaign. I wonder why it is, because he's being sued right now in the Netherlands. By the way, the Netherlands is pretty much a state of the WEF. When you're dealing with the prime minister, there is an award winner out of the World Economic Forum, Mark Rutte, or Rutt, however it is, R-U-T-T-E. He is an award, literally has received an award or awards from the WEF, and he's tried to confiscate around 40% of their farmland in the name of the state. And for them to be suing, get this now, suing Billy. Oh, Billy. Remember that from Caddyshack? Billy. Suing Bill Gates. Will remembers. Bill Gates. I mean, this is a WEF state for all intents and purposes. There's some great conservatives in the Netherlands, too. One of my favorite pastors, Pastor Ben there. River Church Amsterdam is there. But anyway, there's some great conservatives there. However, it is major. It is a heavy-duty, left-leaning country suing Billy Gates for lying about the vaccine. I don't know whether it's the vaccine side effects or the affect of the vaccine, the effectiveness of the vaccination. I believe it's both. I believe that I read both. All right, so let's continue to debunk hoaxes now. Now, we know Aaron sent this to us at the tip end of the show last night that, you know, Trump is being accused by this former model of groping her 31 years ago in the presence of Jeffrey Epstein. How could it get, I mean, could they come up with any more? And again, this is weak sauce, folks. This is absolute weak sauce. Like, I listened to Bongino today. He refused to even cover it because how weak it is. And I'm like, but, you know, I have to cover it because it's fun. Why am I doing it? Am I really doing it to dispel the hoax or debunk the hoax? No, I'm really doing it because of how stupid it is and how ridiculous it is. So allegedly, yeah, these are their October surprises. They're trying the Hitler thing, the story they came out about Trump and German generals 2 years ago with John Kelly, his former administrative chief. I mean, the chief, I can't remember what the chief was, chief of staff. Yep. So John Kelly brought up the story 2 years ago after Trump fired him. It was more than 2 years ago. It's August of 2022. Came out in the New Yorker. So they're trying that again in the Atlantic. Of course, it's always Jeffrey Goldberg. The Atlantic is a major funder of, contributor to the Kamala Harris campaign. But anyway, so you have that Hitler hoax. They're bringing out Hitler. Now they're bringing out that he groped a supermodel in the presence of Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, could they do anymore? That he said that he wouldn't pay $60,000 for an effing Mexican's funeral. All lies. The family of this person that they call an effing Mexican, that they said Trump called that. This was a soldier in the army. Her family just publicly came out and said, we voted for Trump and none of this ever happened. Trump did nothing but show us great respect. But anyway, so I'm going to let the older millennial, Aaron, did you get the cuss words off of this thing? Okay, make sure we got it up. So the older millennial, dispel this groping hoax. Play it for me, Will.
Hey, y'all want to see me easily debunk Stacey Williams' timeline concerning Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump groping her? Okay, cool. Just watch this and then I'll show you how she's full of shit.
Late winter, early spring of 93. I was on a walk with Jeffrey from his brownstone on the Upper East Side down Fifth Avenue when Jeffrey looked at me and said, you know, let's go stop by and see Trump.
Okay, you heard what she said, right? Late 1993, they were walking down Fifth Avenue having just come from Jeffrey Epstein's brownstone. In late 1993, Epstein didn't have that brownstone until 96. And the weird thing is, debunking that entire timeline took 30 seconds. That's how much research I had to do to completely destroy her entire narrative. She is off by 3 years. But she had to say 1993, because by 1996, Trump was no longer associating with Epstein. So she couldn't say 1996, because her whole story about Epstein saying, let's go see Trump, wouldn't have made any sense. And the sad thing is, she could have just looked up when he bought that brownstone. Or she could have just left that out of the story. But she didn't. And now we know her entire timeline is bullshit. If The Guardian had taken the time to do that, I wouldn't even have had to make this video.
So Stacey Williams or The Guardian could have simply looked up real estate records and debunked their own lie. Because you have Stacey Williams lying to The Guardian, and this is where defamation comes in. If The Guardian does not retract this story, then Donald Trump must sue them and Stacey Williams, Hulk Hogan style. Remember that one? He needs to sue them into non-existence if they do not retract this story immediately. If he doesn't do it, then they're going to come again, and they're going to come again, and they're going to come again, just like Anita Hill, Christine Blasey Ford, just like they came after Matt Gaetz, the same thing over and over and over again. So Stacey Williams, this sounds very much like Jesse Smollett, happens to be walking down the road in NYC with Jeffrey Epstein, just like I was walking down the road yesterday with Big Bird. She just happened to be walking down the road in the spring of 1993 with the most famous pedophile of all time. There she is walking down the road in the spring of 1993 with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein says, hey, here's an idea. You can feel free to laugh, guys. Let's go visit Donald Trump. So they go and visit Donald Trump, at which time Trump decides to assault her in front of Jeffrey Epstein. Here's the only problem, is that she said that she left from Jeffrey Epstein's brownstone in 1993. He didn't own the brownstone until 1996. And in 1996, Donald Trump was no longer in any way, shape, or form affiliated with Jeffrey Epstein. And like the older millennial said, you know what? Do you even look up your own lies that maybe written data will back your lies before you espouse the lies? Go to the next one for me. Breaking news. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Breaking news from the Babylon Bee. Worst allegation yet. Woman alleges 1993 Trump touched her inappropriately with classified documents while praising Hitler. Breaking news. There you go. All right, go to the next one for me. Well, Citizen Free Press video. Now we're shifting over to the John Kelly lie. Former Mike Pence chief of staff. This is a former chief of staff of Mike Pence, who was around Donald Trump continuously, and now he is debunking John Kelly's boldface lie. We have Stacey Williams' boldface lies, Jeffrey Goldberg's boldface lies, The Atlantic's boldface lies. Kamala Harris now backing all of these boldface Hitler lies herself. All of them need to be sued for defamation, because all of them are very easily dispelled, because there's no actual eyewitnesses. There's only unnamed sources. Well, here is a named source who spent countless, copious amounts of hours with Donald Trump. Citizen Free Press video. Play for me, Will.
Nick Ayers, pictured here with President Trump and Kelly during his service. You see him in between Mike Pence and General Kelly there in that picture on the left-hand side. He posted this to X yesterday, quote, "I have avoided commenting on intra-staff leaks or rumors or even lies as it relates to my time at the White House. But General Kelly's comments regarding President Trump are too egregious to ignore. I was with each of them more than most, and his commentary is patently false," he writes. And Nick Ayers joins me now. Nick, welcome. Good to have you on the show. Thank you for being
here. Thank you, Martha.
We noticed this when it was posted yesterday. So tell me, why have you decided to speak out?
Well, I know the president personally, Martha. He is my friend. I know his heart. And this unequivocally did not happen. Full stop. John Kelly was never too shy to, you know, to point out to senior staff when he differed with the president, often behind President Trump's back. So I can assure you, had those comments been made, the national media would have known, all of us would have known instantly. Moreover, he was, you know, rarely ever alone with the president. Usually Governor Sanders, now Governor Sanders, then White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, or the staff secretary or other national security officials, or myself, among many others, we were all together. So I'm saying with certainty, this did not happen. This is only being espoused because John Kelly's candidate is losing, and she's losing badly. They're desperate to change the subject from a wide open border, which has wreaked havoc in our major cities and on college campuses. It led.
Yeah, it's just kind of strange. 13 days out from an election, you're going to resurrect the story from 2022. A story that was debunked then is debunked now. And now Jeffrey Goldberg out of The Atlantic is going to treat this as if it is new material and actual news. It's debunked. It happened in 2022. Now you have Nick Ayers, former chief of staff for Mike Pence, who said he was almost on a daily, minute-by-minute basis in the presence of Donald Trump, along with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and this never happened. I mean, we honestly think that Donald Trump said, "I wish I had German generals just like Hitler." Man, it was two different occasions. One, he said German generals. Next time, Kelly's the one who actually brought up Hitler. You don't mean like Adolf Hitler's generals, do you? I mean, Kelly almost admits to trying to entrap Trump, but Trump never said it, regardless of whether he tried to entrap him or not. And then he also just said, John Kelly, this former four-star general, man's man, whatever it may be, he claims that John Kelly, as Trump's chief of staff, often went behind his back. You know what you are when you go behind people's back? You're a freaking coward. And I don't care about, listen, I care about his military service, but that does not take away his cowardice in the White House.
That's right.
Doesn't take it away at all. You got a problem with Trump, go say it to his face. And he probably didn't want to be fired, like he ended up being fired. He didn't resign. He was freaking fired. And that's why, and it's just like Nick Ayers said, the only reason why this is coming back up, a 2-year-plus old story, is because Kamala, as was the title of this podcast, is you can smell the desperation. Listen, when Trump is up by 2 points in national polls, it's over. The only way they can win is by cheating. And that's why everyone needs to go out and outvote the cheat. Everyone needs to get out and vote early. I know everyone's on the right. A lot of us tend to be against early voting. I believe it's that election day should be a national holiday. Everyone goes and votes. I believe that's what it should be on day of, and that's not where we're at now. So when you are in a machine gun fight, you don't bring brass knuckles. We have to go right now and play the game. The game as the rules are set right now. Otherwise, you're going to play a game by rules that don't exist in the game that hinder you, you're going to lose the game. So everyone needs to get out and vote early. All right, so we all need to make sure that we are doing that. And the reason why John Kelly is putting out this story, the reason why Jeffrey Whore Goldberg is putting this out is because they can smell the desperation. I mean, when Trump's up by 2 points nationally, the Republicans never up nationally. He was down to Biden by 7 to 9 points right now. He was down to Hillary 16 points at this point. So when he's up by 2% and tied or winning in every swing state, and some of them that they're even counting sort of as pseudo swing states like Minnesota, he's right there. In Virginia, he's right there. That's why John Kelly, who is a devout globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, disguised as a Republican, that's why, and that's most of the Republican Party, by the way, and I'm a devout Republican. When I go and vote, and when I vote early, I'm going to go like this. Where are all the R's? Beep, 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 beep. I won't even look at their name. Except I'll make sure, double check I voted for Trump. But anyway, so I mean, I love the Republican Party platform, but I don't love a lot of Republicans. All right, let's switch subjects here. Still roaming video. This is just my kind of daily globalist update. Still roaming video. This might help it all make sense. And we'll dive deep into this. Play for me, Will.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
One. Now here's something very deep for everybody. Are you ready? If it quacks like a duck, it flies south for the winter like a duck, swims around a lake and paddles its little webbed feet like a duck, guess what it is? It's a duck. So all you have to do to identify a communist is see who is it that's accusing people of being a fascist? Who is it that's accusing people of being a Nazi? What's going on right now, Johnny Kelly? What's going on now, Mika Brzezinski? What's going on, mainstream media? Who's accusing who of being a fascist? Who's accusing who of being a Nazi? Because the communist playbook is, if you want to defame people, you want to ruin their reputation, you want to make them politically unelectable, start labeling them fascist. Start labeling them Nazis. Who's doing that right now? So who's ever doing it right now is the communist. Look at this one. Media Research Center video. MSNBC's. Here's Mika. Play it for me.
As important as Trump's fascism is, and is the lead story every day, his cozying up to dictators, his obsession with Hitler that has now come out, what he has said about our veterans, and what he wants to do with the military against his political adversaries, it's all huge news. This is the future that we're looking at in the next Trump term, if there is one. But this is what voters know right now, that he is killing us. I'm talking about us women. He's killing us. He is putting us at risk.
First of all, what does Mika say? She does both. She calls him Hitler, says that he has a fascination with Hitler, and she leads with calling him a fascist. She's a communist. She's an actual communist. I'll get back to that in a minute. He's killing us. How exactly is that happening? Under Donald Trump, how many fentanyl deaths were there? You didn't even hear of them, did you? You know why? Because fentanyl was barely crossing the border at that time, and now we're averaging over 100,000 fentanyl deaths a year. The excess mortality in this country is up between 10 and 32%, depending on which demographic you are in. Who's killing everybody? And she says that women are dying because Trump won't give them access to abortion. This is the whole miscarriage lie, that women aren't able to get miscarriage DNC. DNCs, or is that what it is? DNC? But anyway, Look that up for me, Aaron, so yeah. I don't sound stupid. But anyway, you guys can put it in the chat, too. I'm looking right here at the chat. But anyway, so they say that women can't get the procedure where they remove the baby who died in a miscarriage out of the woman. So,
yeah, D and C.
D and C?
D and C, yep.
D and?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. D and C. There yep. we go. So anyway, so I almost said it right. But anyway, D and C, but which the D and C is an abortion.
Right.
This is a D and C. But anyway, so she's saying that women are dying because of it. That's not one of those stories is actually true. Not one. When you actually look at these women who died because in related some way, shape, or form related to a D and C, it had nothing to do with states denying them the ability to get one because states don't deny anybody from getting a D and C because the baby is already dead. And I don't mean to be mean or harsh, but we went through this. A lot of people have gone, my wife and I went through this. A lot of people have gone through it. I'm not trying to be cold to it. I'm just telling you, those are all lies. And then what they try to do now is conflate, because that is of the devil who operates in confusion. So what they're trying to do now is conflate miscarriages with abortions. Miscarriage, the baby has already died. Died of natural means. Nobody stuck a vacuum in there. Nobody stuck forceps in there, pulled it out piece by bloody piece. It died from natural causes. So they try to conflate the two. It's got nothing to do. That's what she's saying. They're killing us. She's using fake, false, you know, suckers and losers style stories probably emanating from and originating from the Atlantic. They're all lies. And the other side of it is she says that Trump is killing women. Mika herself is responsible for the death of 500,000 women a year in the United States via abortion. 200,000 black women are aborted per year under Mika, the football player, Mika Brzezinski. She's talking about Trump is killing people. 41 million people a year are butchered in the womb and in the birth canal every year. Eight post-birth abortions in Minnesota under the terror reign of Tim Tampon Walz. So please, about the he's killing us. So Mika launches with calling Trump a fascist and then says that he's fascinated with Hitler. So what does the Communist Directive of 1943 say? Remember, this comes from the Communist Party, 1943, so Stalinist. Make sure you start calling people fascist. If you're a communist, make sure that you call your political opponent. So most of the time, a communist political opponent is a federalist capitalist, correct? So what is Mika? The opposite of a federalist capitalist. She herself is a communist because she is calling Donald Trump, right out of the Communist Directive of 1943, a fascist and a Hitler lover. That's what she does. Now, where does Mika come from? Look at this next one. Red Pill Drifter video. The Trilateral Commission. Most of you have heard of that. Play it for me.
The Trilateral Commission was founded by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski in July 1973 and is composed of approximately 325 elites in business, banking, and politics. The Trilateral Commission is propagated as being an economic cooperation between America, Europe, and Japan, but in reality is another secretive society and organization, this one specializing in creating the trilateral economic interdependence necessary to bring in the New World Order system of world currency and world governance. They are setting up the framework and power structure necessary for these multinational banks and corporations to assume total control, dominating the world's populations, governments, and economies. Alex Christopher wrote, "The Trilateral Commission is an international organization founded by David Rockefeller, who also had a part in the founding of the Council on Foreign Relations, and who is chairman of the board. The Trilateral Commission is the Illuminati's attempt to unite Western Europe's common market, Japan, Canada, and the United States, into an economic and political confederacy. What they couldn't do through the political side of the Illuminati, Council on Foreign Relations, they are now trying through the economic approach." Anthony Sutton wrote, "The Trilateral Commission was founded by the persistent maneuvering of David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Rockefeller, then chairman of the ultra-powerful Chase Manhattan Bank, a director of many major multinational corporations and endowment funds, has long been a central figure in the mysterious Council on Foreign Relations. Brzezinski, a brilliant prognosticator of one-world idealism, has been a professor at Columbia University and the author of several books that have served as policy guidelines for the CFR. Brzezinski served as the Trilateral Commission's executive director from its inception in 1973 until late 1976, when he was appointed by President Carter as assistant to the President for National Security Affairs. Some notable members of the Trilateral Commission include George Bush, Dick and Lynn Cheney, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Jimmy Carter, Walter Mondale, David Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, David Gergen, Richard Holbrooke, Madeleine Albright, Robert McNamara, Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan, and Paul Wolfowitz.
So now you know who Mika is. She's a communist, because this is really, listen, that when you look in the book of Revelation chapter 13 and 14, when you see the new world order where you can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without the QR code and mark of the beast, which I call, that's just the modern way of translating Revelation 13, 16 through 17, it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and then no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's what, over the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. That is the point of everything. That is the point of the climate change hoax. That's the point of CBDCs. That's the point of what the Trilateral Commission's, the future global digital wallet is all about. The social credit systems, transgenderism, gun grabbing. It is all about leveraging you into that one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by people like Mika and Joe Scarborough. Is that what you, are those people that you want controlling your life? Then all the Christians need to stop following their dictates. Put on a mask. Think you're saving the world by buying an electric car, stand 6 feet apart, lock down your churches, all the different stupid crap. Be accepting, be accommodating. No. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. That your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever's more than these is from the evil one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. But anyway, so Zbigniew Brzezinski was the executive director of the Trilateral Commission, which is simply another entity of the World Economic Forum. You saw one of their titles of one of the conferences that they were having was the Future Global Digital Wallet, which exemplifies all of what I just said a moment ago. That's who Mika is. This is when you are trying to have a one world government, and just always remember, if you have a global digital wallet, which will include your vaccine passport, it'll eventually end up not as any sort of digital device whatsoever, but a quantum dot tattoo on your right hand or on your forehead, controlled by global communism, where you have the very few haves governing the billions of have-nots. That's her plan. That's who Mika is. That's who her dad was. Zbigniew Brzezinski also, just so you know, created Osama bin Laden because they funded the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which transitioned into the Taliban, which is now the 26th largest army on the planet, because Joe Biden gave them $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment in one day, and we abandoned Bagram Air Force Base and left all that equipment there too. That's who these people, they're all linked, they all know each other. That's why Zbigniew Brzezinski's little daughter, who Aaron believes is transitioning slowly but surely into a man via plastic surgery. You know, you go against that Aerosmith song, Dude Looks Like a Lady, you reverse it now, Lady Looks Like a Dude. Get a little less plastic surgery and like a plastic injected into your face. Just a you know, helpful hint. I'm always trying to be, you know, a full service pastor.
What a nice guy.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So now you see that you have the New World Order's mouthpiece, Goebbels, Pravda, Mockingbird media espousing their viewpoints and taking down their opposition because they're all communists, calling them fascists and Hitlers right out of the 19 communist directive of 1943. Communists are communists. Demons are going to demon. There you go. Trilateral Commission. All right, let's go into some Kamala. Give it to me, Aaron. Give me a little Trump Kamala.
Kamala.
There we go. A little Kamala time now. Gary D video. Is that where we're at, Will? Make sure you and I are on the same page. All right, Gary D video. Kamala claims Trump is exhausted. Kamala's claiming Trump is exhausted. Play for me.
As for last night, yet again, Trump not showing up, refused to be a part of a CNN debate, and clearly his staff has been saying he's exhausted, and the sad part about that is he's trying to be president of the United States, probably the toughest job in the world, and he's exhausted.
One.
I'm going to translate for you. Staff means out of freaking thin air with the freaking in it. Out of thin air. That's what hurt. You want somebody in Trump's staff is communicating with Kamala Harris. Kamala. Go ahead, Aaron.
Kamala.
Yeah, really. Somebody is communicating. That is code. That's like right out of the Jeffrey Goldberg dictionary. It's just right out of his MO. You know, unnamed sources. People in Trump's staff are saying that he's exhausted. Who? Name him. Aaron said it. Name him. Name him for me, please. Well, just give us a name. I'll tell you what, after the election, give us the names of the people who did it. We'd love to see that. We'd love to see it. So let's see now. The other thing is she said that Trump failed to show up for the CNN debate, which turned into, you know, I didn't think she could do worse than Bret Baier. I mean, congratulations. I mean, really, you have to acknowledge accomplishments, folks. You have to do it. When I never thought anything could get any worse than her Bret Baier interview. And then when you have, you know, homosexual activist Anderson Cooper, married to a man, he is actually grilling her with questions. I actually shouldn't say he's married to a man. He's gay. I don't know if he's married or not. But anyway, dating men at minimum. But anyway, so you have Anderson Cooper grilling Kamala. When did anybody see that? You know why Anderson Cooper's doing that? So that he can have a moniker of dignity when Trump wins and say, you know what? You know, or even if, I can't even say because I'll throw up in my mouth, Trump loses, he'll have some sort of validity and credibility left because he'll be able to say, look, I even though I am Mockingbird Goebbels, Pravda media for the Democratic Party, look, on this one night, I made it hard on her. But the thing is, they all know how horrible of a candidate she is and they can't stand her. And they know that she subverted the election process, probably even to a criminal level in the United States of America, she and the Democratic Party, which gave 14 million of Joe Biden's votes and all of his money to her. And I think Biden hates her too. But so, you know, but she says Trump didn't show up for the debate. Well, remember, she canceled out of the Fox debate. So she, I didn't think she could do any worse than she did with Bret Baier, but you know what? She's reached another level of horribleness. It was her own people are crucifying her after this town hall. She looked like an idiot. She didn't answer one question. Again, you can't answer one question. But anyway, so she said, Trump is exhausted. Here's what Trump was doing while she was doing a solo town hall with a hand-picked audience and a hand-picked moderator. Here's what Trump was doing when he was exhausted. Play for me. Man, Trump is exhausted, isn't he? So while she's in a crowd of about 30 people with a handpicked moderator, handpicked crowd, handpicked selection, and preordained questions, pre-selected questions, just what Trump doing, all four, slam-packed full in Georgia. Slam-packed full. And then after this, go to the next one for me, Will. RGAR152 video. Here's Trump after. This is Trump exhausted after his rally. Play for me.
So I have an idea. Are you right outside now? Let's go outside and talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah. His overflow crowd, yeah, I just played side by side. His overflow crowd has more people in it than any Kamala Harris unpaid for rally. And you notice how she's not doing rallies anymore? Why is she doing rallies anymore with jam-packed full arenas with Megan Thee Stallion and all the rest of them? Why isn't that happening now? Because they can't afford to pay people $1,000, $2,000, $15,000 a pop to show up and do them. Even though she started off with like a $2 billion war chest, you can only fill, I mean, how many arenas can you fill full of 30,000 people when you're paying them $1,000 a pop? 30,000 times 1,000 for a couple, that's why they're not doing it anymore. And here's exhausted Trump going outside after the rally to see the overflow crowd, who's larger than any Kamala Harris crowd. Look at the size of this freaking crowd. Where does it end? Where does it even end? I mean, it ends finally at a fence. Right, coming up. Yep, still going, still going, still going, still going, still going. Finally, right there. That's it. There it is. That's the end of it. And he can't see the back of it. That's the overflow. That's not the jam-packed arena. That's the overflow. Kamala Harris would kill for that. Absolutely kill for. She can't get it. All right, so let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. Here's CNN's response. Now, remember, set it up again. Kamala Harris does a town hall with Anderson Cooper and pre-selected questions, pre-selected audience. I'm sure, Tom, can you prove that? No, but I'm sure that it is. It's just like ABC gave her the questions prior to the presidential debate. But anyway, with David Muir. So, again, so she's doing the town hall meeting alone with Anderson Cooper. Trump's got, I don't know. I'm almost talking like Trump now. I don't know. Thousands. It's fantastic. But
believe
anyway.
Me.
Kamala.
Kamala.
But, so anyway. So she's alone with Anderson Cooper with a crowd of like 34 people. He's there with, I don't know, 25,000 people minimum, somewhere in there. Full four corners all the way around him. So anyway, he's been Trump good. Then after that, he goes out to the overflow cloud. Looks like he talks to them also while he's exhausted. According to her, he's exhausted. While she does this fantastic town hall meeting with Anderson Cooper, here's what Anderson Cooper's own network, starting with Obama puppeteer David Axelrod, here's what they had to say about Kamala's town hall meeting. Play it for me.
When she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city. And she did that on a couple of answers. One was on Israel. Anderson asked a direct question. Would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of it related to the question he was asking.
She doesn't have to be flawless. But she has to give you something. I mean, she's like a true double threat. You know, she's terrible on her feet when she gets unexpected questions. And simultaneously, she can't even answer the expected questions. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. You'd think she'd be prepared to do this by now. You know, what's a mistake you've made? Nothing. What's a weakness you have? Nothing. What's the first law you want to pass? Nothing. What's a policy difference between you and Joe Biden? Nothing. Over and over and over. Empty, empty, empty. If she were an animal, she'd be a duck-billed platitude.
But look,
it's a total world
focused a lot more on Donald Trump, I think it's fair to say, than she did on many specifics in terms of what she would do as president. But she did go into some of her plans for small businesses.
Well, I'll just tell you what I'm hearing from people who I have been talking to, and that is that if her goal was to close the deal, they're not sure she did that. And, you know, some people have asked, is she being held to a different standard? Maybe. But that's maybe the world that she's living in. And on the question of who she is, people are understanding that a little bit more. But what she will do, the question about her legislative priorities, name one, there wasn't one.
I think that the word salad stuff gets on my nerves. I think that some of the evasions are not necessary. But when she's talking about trying to get you a house, I believe her.
Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris participated in a one-person debate last night, and she lost. Okay, she was asked direct questions, and she provided very circular answers. My colleagues, Van Jones and David Axelrod and others noted that, you know, she provided word salad answers. And, you know, Anderson would ask her specifically direct questions and she didn't provide an answer to them. Anderson asked the best question all night. Why didn't you do this 4 years ago? Why haven't you been doing this? T- pretend that an answer didn't answer the question. So what she did last night, I don't think helped her cause at all. I think people were looking for, you know, how are you going to, you heard the one woman, how are you going to make my life better? That wasn't provided. Donald Trump bad is not going to get you to the White House. I hate to break it to her.
One.
So six commentators, four out of the six were leftards, and they couldn't stand it. Even Van Jones, who is left of Stalin. You want to talk about a communist, that's who Van Jones is. He's like, the word salads are irritating, and she never answers a direct question. From Van Jones, that would be like Bill Clinton criticizing Hillary Clinton. That's who Van Jones is to the Democrats. And he actually says that her word salads are irritating. But then he also says something that irritates me. But she makes up for it by saying that she'll get you a house. See how they're all communists? How's the government going to get you a house? How are you going to get a house? And by the way, the whole house thing is a complete mirage, complete fallacy, because as a United States citizen, you won't qualify for any of Kamala Harris's $25,000 house down payments that just add to the debt. I already put up the slide. You don't qualify for it. You have to have, basically, I don't remember exactly what it said on there, but you can have like no connections to certain parenting in the United States. You can't have like an American mom, American dad. Your parents can't own a house, something like this. So the only way for you to qualify for these $25,000 down payments is for you not to be a United States citizen, which is, of course, on purpose. Again, so it's all a fallacy. And when Van Jones, and by the way, just one more thing on the housing. What's $25,000 going to do for you on a $400,000 house? Because that's the average cost for a home now. You have to have an $80,000 down payment. You have to put down 20%. And you can't get a loan to get a loan. Or you won't qualify. So you have to have $80,000. So what good is it going to do? First of all, you can't be a United States citizen to get it. Second of all, you need $80,000 to get it. So again, so this reminds me of back in the COVID days when they're like taking people's homes because they couldn't afford their lease payments. And they were saying, but don't worry, we're going to discount you on solar panels. We're going to give you a $500 discount on $15,000 worth of solar panels. Don't worry, we're giving you a $500 discount on that while your house is being taken from you. Not I'm talking about mortgage payments, not rent payments, I said rent. But while your house is being taken from you by the bank, don't worry, we're going to give you discounts on solar panels. We know you need right now an $1,800 mortgage payment so the bank doesn't reclaim your house. But don't worry, we're going to give you a $500 voucher for future solar panels built in China. That's the federal government for you every single time. But anyway, so let me change the subjects again. Wesley Hunt video, Congressman Wesley Hunt, one of the best, actual conservative, real conservative, will say anything. Wesley Hunt doesn't worry about the ramifications of what he says. That's how you know whether somebody's a legit conservative or not. If they are guarding their speech or trying to stay on YouTube, trying to stay on Facebook, trying to stay on TikTok, they're not a legitimate conservative. Because what they are now is controlled opposition, because the people that won't allow you to be on those platforms because if you say certain things are actually bourgeois leftist communist elitists. Wesley Hunt video, everything they accuse Trump of being, they have done. Let's set this up. Play for me, Will.
His explicit intent to jail political opponents.
Nice, our Department of Justice.
He would weaponize the Department of Justice. He would weaponize the Department of Justice.
Trump would go in to the Department of Justice and manipulate it, that it would be used as a weapon.
Against his political enemies.
Against his political enemies. Someone who has openly.
I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We gotta lock him up.
So far, he had good sense. He got the sense kicked back, but I want to watch that sense.
Let me just say. Lock him up. It is, well, the courts will take care of that.
Stand that the real.
Well, I hear you. So here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. The courts are gonna take care of that.
If he does run, I'm making sure he does not become the next president.
So what are they accusing Trump of right now? Two things mainly, that he's going to weaponize the DOJ. So they're accusing Trump of possibly doing what they are currently doing, right? Of course, because they say he'll jail his political opponents. Now let's think back, because we have three generations in this room. Aaron's 30, Will's 40, I'm 56. So how old are you, Will, exactly?
I'm 43.
Okay, so we're 13 years apart, and you and Aaron are 13 years apart. Look at that, almost 12 years apart. So there you go. We're 13 years between the three of us, all of us, and between each one of us. So many years between us. So have you ever seen, and you know, if you guys can, if there's some answer that comes out, literally, you can contradict me. It's okay. I know you work for me. That's okay. But when have you ever seen a former president's house raided by a current president?
Never.
No.
Never?
Never.
Have you ever seen any former president's political advisors, chief advisors, Bannon, Navarro, arrested by the current president?
Nope.
Nope.
All right, so who's weaponizing the DOJ? Bannon's in prison as we speak, while Kamala and Biden say that he's going to weaponize the DOJ. Bannon's sitting in federal prison as the only convicted misdemeanor in federal prison for not obeying a subpoena issued by the 1-6 committee that wasn't authorized to issue subpoenas, who couldn't lawfully issue subpoenas. So they're, and then of course, Rudy Giuliani was raided. James O'Keefe was raided. General Flynn was arrested and charged and was facing 9 years in prison if it wasn't for Sidney Powell coming in and wreaking havoc on that case. Roger Stone was arrested and invaded, and his house was raided in the middle of the night with only CNN there, right? So who's going to weaponize the DOJ? We played the story. The woman and that beautiful family is now in prison, in federal prison, in violation of the FACE Act, because she was standing in front of an abortion clinic. FACE Act is you're not allowed to prevent people from walking in. She didn't prevent anybody from going in, but she's now spending 3.5 years, needs to be Trump's very first legislative action, his very first executive order, is to pardon her on day one, minute one. It's going 3.5 years in prison for standing out in front of an abortion clinic. So who's weaponizing the DOJ? You have right now Matthew Graves, United States Attorney in Washington, D.C. He's looking for 1,000 people who knowingly trespassed on 1-6. Tom, wasn't 1-6 3 years ago? Yeah, it was. It was almost 4 years ago. So let's say 4 years ago. 4 years ago, you had 1-6 of 2021. Here we are in almost November of 2024. And you have Matthew Graves all full of PP and vinegar going to try to arrest 1,000 people for knowingly trespassing, not entering the Capitol, knowingly trespassing on Capitol grounds, on the grass around the Capitol, who didn't knowingly trespass because people like Ray Epps removed the barriers. Ray Epps is scot-free. But these alleged knowingly trespassers who unknowingly trespassed because there were no barriers up and there were no trespass signs and it was a permitted assembly are all going to be facing years in prison. And most of these, why, by the way, when you had many of these sentences under the Enron rule proved to be invalidated, why are these people still in prison right now? These 1-6 people that were falsely prosecuted under the Enron rules of obstruction of justice, which was the Enron rules was basically when you are getting rid of paperwork, what do you call it? Shredding paperwork? When you're shredding paperwork? That's what Enron was. People were put in prison on 1-6 for shredding paperwork. How are they shredding paperwork? And that now in the Supreme Court said all of those convictions are null and void. Why are they still in prison right now? I just have a question. Because the DOJ is weaponized against you and me. You have Donald Trump, 34 felony counts. Well, Tom, that was local. That wasn't the DOJ. Yeah, they sent Matthew Colangelo from the DOJ to NYC to do it. And then the other accusation is that Donald Trump is going to weaponize the military against him. So once again, they are accusing Donald Trump of possibly doing what they are currently doing under Executive Military Order 54-5240.01. You had an EO issued by the Biden administration that was reacted to. Great, this was summation by Alex Jones, and I'm copying from, credit to him right now. You had an executive order from the Biden administration that was then reacted to by the military under their order 5240.01, which now allows the military to shoot American citizens, to kill American citizens on American soil. But don't worry, 5240.01 says they can't actually assassinate you, though. That's in the verbiage. We played it on the show. It's in the verbiage for 5240. That didn't happen under the Trump administration. It happened on September 27th of this year by the Biden administration. Go, Aaron.
How much you want to bet they're going to try, because he is going to win. How much you want to bet that when he wins, they're going to try to say that he enacted that?
Oh, of course.
To go with
of
that
course.
Narrative.
And, well, what it is they are planning on Trump winning and then giving us 76 days of hell between then and when he takes office. Is it 76 days? November, all of December, and whatever. I think that, I'm taking that from Alex Jones. It's 76 days, I think it is. But anyway, can't be 76 days, can it? Yeah, it might be. Yeah, because it's full 2 months and then several days. It is. Roughly 76 days. And what they're going to try to do is cause mass chaos, and then you're going to pull the Jamie Raskin 14th Amendment hoax. That's the whole point, which I don't know if I'll get to that tonight. I don't know if I'm anywhere near that. But anyway. So I don't have time, but basically not certify the election. Then Jamie Raskin says we're all going to need bodyguards. Remember that whole thing? Maybe I'll skip ahead and show that before. Although I've only got 8 minutes to go and I got to go. I got to go. But anyway, I really do.
I got to go.
I can't stay. It's fantastic. But anyway, so the only people that are weaponizing our military against United States citizens are the people accusing Trump of the possibility of doing it. The only people that are weaponizing our military against the United States are those accusing us of maybe doing that. Although there's no way Trump would ever do that. We already have the 4-year experiment of Donald Trump. Did he weaponize? Did he do a 5240.01? No. He had 4 years to weaponize the military against the United States citizenry. He never did it. Unbelievable. All right, RNC research video. Karine Jean-Pierre, of course. Now let's go over her qualifications, her merit qualifications to be press secretary of the White. Thank you, Aaron. Press secretary for the White House. So what exactly gives her those credentials that qualifies her to do that? Well, she's black and she's a lesbian. She's a woman. And she's the first black lesbian woman to ever be the press secretary. So that's why she qualifies, because we all know she's the worst one in history. But anyway, I digress. So RNC research video, Karine Jean, claims Biden didn't actually mean lock him up when he said, we got to lock him up. Play for me.
What did the president mean when he said last night about Donald Trump, we got to lock him up?
So look, and the president spoke about this very clearly as well in his statement, and he said he meant lock him out politically, lock him out. That's what he said, and that's what we have to do. That was the part of his quote that he said last night while he was in New Hampshire. Look, let's not forget, this is a president that has never shied away from being very clear and laying down what is at stake in this election. I'm going to be really mindful in not speaking about 2024 election. That's just less than 2 weeks away. But this is just speaking to what the president said last night. He made very clear yesterday that he was referring to defeating Donald Trump. That is what he was talking about. He said politically lock him out. That is what he was referring to.
Well, he first...
So, no, what Biden did was slip up. Now, you think that, well, Biden said politically we're going to lock him up. This said by the man who's trying to actually lock him up. I mean, Biden is like, I want to see him sentenced. Numerous times he talks about Donald Trump's 34 felonies. He hasn't been sentenced yet. I want to be there when they sentence him. So the guy who says we need to lock him up, but I mean it politically, is trying to actually lock him up. And the press secretary sits there, of course, because she's basically just another form of Goebbels' Pravda media. And by the way, she's not only his press secretary now, she's one of his lead advisors. And her qualification for that is the exact same qualifications that she has to be press secretary. She's a black woman lesbian, and she's the first one to ever be a black woman lesbian. So that qualifies her to now give nuclear advice to Joe Biden right now. And by the way, Joe Biden's going to be president until January 20th. And Karine Jean-Pierre is one of his chief advisors. That dip squat moron gives him that. She's not simply his spokesperson now. Not simply the White House spokesperson, the press secretary for the White House. She's no longer just that. She is a lead advisor. I'm talking about like David Axelrod style. I'm talking about like General Flynn style advisor. For what? What has she ever accomplished outside of carrying on lesbian relationships and being black and being a woman, which none of us can control? Unless, of course, you believe in transgender transitions, which, of course, none of us do. All right, let me go on to this one. Insurrection Barbie video. Judge Joe Brown. Here's some more. You probably think I've seen a lot of them. Here, I found a new one. This is with him with Candace Owens. Insurrection Barbie video. Judge Joe Brown does some damage to Kamala. Play it for me.
Kamala, which, by the way, is the name of a Hindu goddess, and it's not a black name. One of her relatives, his name is Jesse Smollett, the one that got caught up with that fraud thing. He's her nephew by marriage. They got pictures of Jesse Smollett buying this noose during Halloween season at a costume shop. They've got it on video. And on security cameras, you can see him putting the noose around his own neck. And he had met with Kamala just before that, and she and Cory Booker, this is the same day when he flew into Chicago. They had been working on something that Conyers came up with in 1997 that is now modified and introduced as the Emmett Till Anti-Lynch Bill.
Wow.
Remember the neck? Yes. And the whole thing, they went off and then they had to withdraw it because of the fraud that came out.
Wow.
Well, see, this is something they're trying to do. And maybe this will give you an idea of how they're sneaking around here. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynch Bill has nothing to do with black people.
No bill they put up has anything to do with black people.
No.
Or just the headline. But then when you read it.
The headline does.
Yeah.
But what it does is it puts into the American federal criminal laws for the first time sexual orientation as a victim category for criminal offenses. Now, when you think of a lynching, you think of a mob killing somebody, right? Well, the Emmett Till anti-lynch bill, one, doesn't require a mob. It can be one person. It doesn't even require a homicide. You can kidnap somebody or beat somebody. Let's say you have a guy who's broken up with his girlfriend or his wife, and he's feeling down, and some of his friends say, hey, man, let's go to the club. He's dancing with this PYT, pretty young thing. They're having a good time exchanging spit over in the shadows and drinking wine. And then he looks down. Man, you got a heart. What are you? You got a hard on, and he bust him in the mouth. Now that's federal lynching.
Wow. Wow.
So what they did with it, you see this bait and switch.
You see how everybody is actually related? You wonder why Kamala stuck her neck out for Juicy Smoo Yay, Dave Chappelle. You wonder why it is she stuck her, because they're all related to one another. And by the way, it's got nothing to do with race. And it was all what they were trying to do was pass an anti-gay hate bill called an anti-lynching bill that they were disguising as a anti-black bill called the Emmett Till anti-lynch bill, which has nothing to do with lynching. Anything, what qualifies as a lynching? Being beat up, kidnapped. It requires no mob. What did Jesse Smollett not have? He didn't have a mob, but he had his rope around his neck. Remember, he paid the two brothers to come and do it? Kamala Harris was basically behind the thing. That's who these people are. They're all frauds. They're all connected, in some ways, even related. And again, nothing to do with black, white. You can trace all of these different relations. Look at Mika Brzezinski. Actually, of course, related to her dad and related basically to these transnational globalist leftist organizations. And now she's a parrot for all of those organizations. They all know each other. Many of them are related to one another. Yet Kamala Harris was directly related in some capacity to Juicy Smouillet. I'm saying that on purpose. And all to pass a bill that's camouflaged as a anti-black racism bill, an anti-racism against blacks bill, but it's actually a bill against victimizing homosexuals. And of course, Jesse Smouillet kind of checks both boxes because he's a black homosexual. And he actually was pseudo-lynched. This is all with John Conyers behind it. And of course, there's various nefarious motivations behind these bills like that, which I don't have time to get into right now. Let's hop to another quickie here. Pick from the Daily Mail. Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, slapped me in the face so hard I spun around. I'm disgusted by his fake perfect spouse persona. It's all coming out. You know what they want to play? Let's play. You want to come up with fake assertions? We'll come up with real accusations. How do you like that? And by the way, there's actual real witnesses here. And by the way, she did file a police report. Oops. You want to play? Let's play. Let's go to the next one, Will. Just more on Kamala Harris right now. This is the Kamala Harris section. Great job here. Another great job. Great job. Yeah, thank you guys. Join in. Come on, Will. We got to acknowledge this. Will, you fought in a war. How would you like to go over to this one? Because now you have the North Koreans fighting on the side of the Russians.
Not at all.
It's great. Great job. October 24th, 2024. Here we are. This is where we are. You know, it only takes 3.5 years to get to this level of decline in the United States of America. To get the world into this level of calamity where you now have 2,000 North Korean troops stationed in Russia to fight off Ukrainians in a specific region of that country. Amazing, isn't it? The level that it goes downhill in a short period of time. Do we ever have North Koreans transported by Kim Jong-un to Russia under the Trump administration? Did we ever have Russia invade Ukraine under the Trump administration? Did we ever have Hamas invade Israel under the Trump administration? Did we ever have Houthis shooting missiles at the United States Navy under the Trump administration? No. But how can you be a leftist and honestly believe that the world is better? And if you see that it's worse, why do you keep voting for it? In the name of some sort of convoluted political victory that could be your own demise? Let's look at some polls here. Oh, crap. I'm already past my time.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Let me look at these polls real quick. I got to go. The reason why I got to go, just so everybody knows, no podcast tomorrow. Sorry, no podcast. Driving up to Jack. Got to leave for Jacksonville tonight. Got to be in Jacksonville tomorrow, all day Saturday. So anyway, won't be here tomorrow. So that's why I got to rush out of here tonight. So here's just some polling data for you. Real America's Voice. Here's Dan Bishop. Play it for me.
Instead of running for re-election to Congress, I'm running for Attorney General of North Carolina. So I've got very close eyes on how things are rolling out in North Carolina. We commenced early voting last Thursday, the 17th of October. And through 6 days, it is a stunning set of developments. You've heard that Republicans are turning out, or Republican voters are turning out strongly in all the swing states. North Carolina, of course, is considered a swing state, although I think Trump's doing better here even than in others. But this is the key stat right now. Through day six, Democrats' early vote, including both mail-in ballots and in-person early voting, is off 365,292 votes. Now, GOP in total, and when you include mail-in ballots, is also down just 22,000. But on the whole, we are repeating the, you know, because that 2020, the turnout, when you consider both mail-in and whatever you might say about that, and in-person early voting was a blowout. Well, Republicans are repeating that phenomenon, just slightly down in total. But on the in-person early voting, Republicans are up about 75,000. The message through the base this year, particularly in North Carolina, but I'm sure everywhere, has been vote down the ballot. President Trump needs allies, but also go early and vote. The Republicans, the posse, and others have gotten the word, and it is rolling out. I've never seen anything like this.
So there you go. In the state of North Carolina, early voting for the Democrats, they're just down a little bit. 365,292 lower than what they were last year at this time. We're going to win unless there's mass fraud. And then we won't be able to win in courts because we'll lack standing. Okay, so and I'm praying that doesn't happen. But only way for us to lose is mass fraud. All right, going to the last one here. Citizen Free Press tweet. The moment when Miami-Dade, listen, if Miami-Dade goes for Trump, it's all over. Did you see it down there? That's Miami-Dade right now. Miami-Dade County, that's Miami, Florida. Miami is tied. Tied. I mean, Hillary won Miami-Dade by 31 points. Right now, tied. Okay, there's no way that Kamala can win. Give me a little Trump, Aaron. There's no way Kamala can
win. There's no way Kamala can win.
There you go.
Kamala Harris. She's from China.
There you go. If Trump wins Dade County, it's over, folks. And by the way, right? I believe that he will. Okay, he narrowed it to 9% against Biden. And right now, tied. Watch out. I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say red wave. It should be a red wave. It should be a red wave. But
you never know.
You never know. So I mean, they could cheat. But listen, make sure you go out. Make sure you vote. Make sure you go out and vote early. Vote early. Everybody, do it. Get out there and vote early because there's going to be a massive attempt at the big cheat. Printer's not working. We had some of it. I got a whole thing on it right here. Title: Election Fraud. See that EF? Election fraud right there. I got a whole thing on it. Didn't get to it. But anyway, we'll do it. There's always another podcast coming on Monday. Listen, I know I won't be with you tomorrow, but I'll be right back live Sunday morning at Foundation Church. Be with us. You never know what you'll hear. You'll hear podcast stuff from the pulpit at Foundation Church. So join me at Foundation Church. Aaron will take the stage. Aaron's on stage the whole time, but you'll start hearing Aaron around 10:15. Why do I always do that? I don't know. About 10:15, I'll start preaching right about 11. So join us at Foundation Church, 10 a.m. I start preaching 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Listen, I love Trump. Trump's the best politician in the world, but he can't get you to heaven. Only Jesus washes your sins away.
Amen.
So make sure and make sure that you join us on Sunday morning. You got to have a church. Got to have a church. Jesus is Lord. Got to do it. But anyway, join us on Sunday morning. And listen, a lot of you, you're like, I need to find a church near you. Listen, if they caved to COVID, don't attend. Unless they've come out and publicly repented. And most people I talk to, there's no churches like that. If it's a church that's not preaching hellfire and brimstone, that sin is real, that you need to turn from your sin, teaching the promises of God, that God wants you well, God wants you healed, God wants you wealthy. Preach it all here. We preach the Bible. We're as familiar with the Bible as Americans should be with the Constitution. That's what we do at Foundation Church. So listen, even if you got a church that's closer to you, but they're COVID caving, limp-wristed, spineless worms, don't go there. Just join us online. I love you. God bless you. Join us at Foundation Church on Sunday morning. Rumble Rants. Texas Billy, $50. Florida Bubs, $20. Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Order in the Court, $10. Gianna Jones, $10. Thank you guys so much in the Rumble Rants. Thank you guys so much for being in the chat. I'll be in the chat during the postgame. Stick around for the postgame. It's awesome. The postgame is great. Stick around for it. It's only a couple minutes long. I love you. God bless you. See you Sunday morning. If not, I'll see you Monday night. Love you guys. What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper? That you are supposed to be wealthy. That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty might become rich. That new thing for you, that you need to receive it.
Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.